This podcast is made possible by supporters like you. Mahalo. And by Atlas Insurance Agency, Hawaii's largest professional agency, helping Hawaii navigate insurance solutions since 1929. More at atlasinsurance.com.
Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to a new episode of What School You In? Start every conversation with that question. I'm Ron Mizutani, and today we're getting fresh with you. Here's something to think about. When you shop at a supermarket, it's estimated about a dozen people have handled your fruits and vegetables before you or any other customer first touches that. Imagine that. At a farmer's market, at most three people, maybe a couple more, have handled the produce before it hits the sale table. Usually the farmer who grew it, picked up the produce, is the same person selling it right to you. That is not just fresh. That is super fresh. I'm happy to welcome longtime foodie and blogger and friend Melissa Chang to the conversation.
Hello.
Melissa manages the social media for Oahu's Farm Lovers Market and a whole lot more. I know you do that. Thank you for being here, Melissa.
Thank you.
Before we go any further, what school you went?
I went to McKinley.
Oh, you're a tiger.
Yes. I am a product of the DOE.
You're a product of the DOE, the mighty tigers. You know, I had somebody else. Corey, I think, was a McKinley Tiger, the one who did the cupcakes. And I asked her this question. I said, and I put her in a spot. I'm going to put you in a spot.
Uh-oh.
The whole controversy of the school's name. The legacy of McKinley High School graduates, alum, they want to hold on to that. What's your thoughts?
Okay, so I think if you ask most McKinley alumni, they'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah,
we want to keep the name, and it's not so much. We understand there's that whole argument about what President McKinley did and
yes.
the treaty that he holds in his hands. For me personally, I don't care if they take away the statue. Sure, they can take him away, but they should keep the name.
Yeah.
Because most kids who go to McKinley, who have gone to McKinley, didn't even know who he was. We just identify with the name.
Right.
So it's more of a sentimental name.
I think to the person that I've asked, they've said that.
Yeah.
Whether they're, celebrating 30 years of reunion time or, 10 years, people feel the same way. You know, I know there's a vocal group that definitely wants to see that change, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
the other question I have to ask you is, sing me a verse of your alma mater.
Oh my God!
Come on, yeah, just one.
I know the words, but I'm a terrible singer.
It's okay. I've heard you in karaoke. You're not that
bad.
Oh
no!
Come on, just one line.
Hail McKinley, hail. Is it?
Okay, hey, that's plenty. It's just like me singing ring, Kali, ring. Okay, come here, man. Well, welcome to the conversation. So good to have you. I know I introduced you as a foodie and a blogger, and Lord knows you've touched many other things in your life. I mean, what is Melissa Chang up to these days?
Oh my gosh! Well,
yeah.
food, and more food.
Right.
There's a lot of new restaurants that opened, even during the pandemic. So we've been trying to just catch up with everybody who's open and new. Yeah,
I don't know how you keep pace, and I'm sure your email and social media platforms are flooded with folks saying, "Hey, come check us out." I don't. First of all, that would just and my waistline would just explode. But how do you sift through that and make sure that you're giving those who need the opportunity or deserve the opportunity to get your attention and your audience? But and I speak of your audience, those who follow you. But how do you sift through all that?
That's a hard one. But actually, for sure, like if you're out outside of my drive zone, because I'm a townie, there's less chance of me going there. Like I'll go as far as like Kailua and Aiea, but if you're like on the North Shore, it's like, it would have to be a special occasion because like people think that that's all we do. That's our job to just run around and try food. But we actually have to like take time out of our work day to go to these places. And, if I don't work, I don't get paid. So
it's a demanding, seriously demanding job. People say, oh, what a tough job. It is a tough job. and it can be pretty darn stressful. I know one thing that's very dear to you and is very, very dear to me is our farmers.
Yes.
And that's why we asked if you could come talk story about that, because our farmer markets are unique in many different ways. And no matter what island you're on, they have a farmer's market. You can find one near you.
Yeah.
What is the beauty of a farmer's market? And for those who've never been, boy, you're missing out.
Oh, yeah. It's so colorful. And as you mentioned, if you go to a supermarket, the food has been handled by dozens of people before it gets to you. Whereas literally when I'm at the market, the person who grew the fruits and vegetables is the one who harvested them and brought them there. And the stuff is like hyper fresh, right? They harvested it like 1 or 2 days before the market.
So. You know, I think there's, and I know people go, oh, I don't go to those, you know. But I say, why? That's the guys who grew it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and not to mention, you know, all the cost savings that come with that. Because you're not only getting fresh, but oftentimes you're getting a better price, are you not?
I'm not sure that it's a better price for sure. Like, depends on, right. You know, sometimes there's sales and stuff. But for sure, it's definitely fresh. And then there's other things like... I noticed that some of the booths, the zucchini, for example, is gigantic. And I'm like, why is your zucchini so huge compared to the one at the market, the supermarket? And they explain, and I never knew this, they explained to me that supermarkets have a standard for how the produce looks.
Right.
So these gigantic things are not attractive mm-hmm. or something. So that's what they sell. And to me, it's attractive.
Right. And sometimes, because, you know, we got the same thing when I was at Hawaii Food Bank, that if it looked like it had a extra lump here or, you know, it didn't look like it would be appealing to the consumer, the farmer would, you know, move it on to some other other way of consumption. And sometimes it ended up in the Hawaii Food Bank, usually at the end of life, if you will, but still, nevertheless, The pretty produce don't oftentimes the pretty produce is the one that ends up at the store, but you got to cut it, and you're gonna have take all that skin off anyway. But it's not just produce. The farmers markets, and depending on where you go, but it's like a carnival to me sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
There's prepared foods. There's artisans. You know, they make their own jewelry. They're painters, photographers. Ceramics, the whole gamut of arts, and anything you want, pretty much you can get at the markets.
When you look at again, depending on where you go or where you live, the markets reflect the community oftentimes.
Yeah, I think so.
In Kaka'ako, I know that's a vibrant city life, if you will. A lot of folks just walk to the farmers market there. It's a different vibe too, right? Is it not?
Yeah.
Tell me about the different vibes.
Well, so it's kind of neat at the Kaka'ako Market because it's very cosmopolitan. The people who live and work there are cosmopolitan, and it's reflected in the food and produce that's there. It's very ethnic. And there's regular standard stuff too, but there's anything you want. There's this one vendor who does gua bao, which is a Taiwanese bao bun. So his is really popular. There's always a line. And if you go to Kailua, which he does on Sundays, that community is still getting used to what that is. So it's shorter there. But, you know, he gives it a try. Trying to think. There's another one. In Kailua, actually, there's this one guy who does curry, Sri Lankan curry. And there's a lot of vegans that live out in Kailua. So one day he decided to try ulu curry. And that line went all the way down the strip.
It is crazy what ulu is. I mean, it is a staple, long has been in the islands. But boy, people are making hummus out of it, and you name it.
It's, ulu it's flour,
It's crazy popular. And then you talked about Kailua. Then you have Windward Mall. They have their own farmers market, and that in itself is unique as well.
Yeah. That one's nice because it's indoors and air-conditioned, and, you know, the bathrooms are clean. So that's always nice to go to. They also have farmers in there. They bring their stuff in. But there's also some nice prepared foods. So there's this guy who sells turmeric stuff, pills, turmeric tea, all kinds of stuff just to keep you healthy inside. And then actually one of my favorite vendors is this Korean girl. She does this booth called Dodo's Donuts, and it's Korean milk donuts. And I never even heard of Korean milk donuts until I met her. And she makes the actual bread stuff and then the fillings. And
well, what's in the filling?
It's like a flavored whipped cream, but a little bit thicker. Yeah.
So. See, you find different things at farmers market that you won't find sometimes maybe even at the supermarkets. It's the word of mouth and the coconut wireless can make can make or break you. I used to go to Winter Wan by the poke and fresh poke there and
the poke
the crack seed and all this other stuff. You know, I know neighbor islands have their own farmers market and their own network on how they distribute information and social media. The neighbor islands, have you been to a farmers market on the neighbor islands? And if so, how different are they?
I've been to the ones in Hilo. Those are huge.
Huge.
And the only thing about those is it's hard to find parking. But I like those because they have different things. And a lot of times, you know, it's hyper local. So like here on Oahu, it's a little bit hard to find Warabi or Ho'io. There's like maybe one or two vendors that have that, but in Hilo, everybody has that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the vendors are different depending on the location.
Yeah,
too. Yeah, and sometimes it's from the community, like you said, hyper local. Local is that what you just said?
Yeah,
hyper local. Is that the new thing now?
Yeah,
I learned so much while doing this program. I swear, I sometimes I feel so old. Like I honestly, I didn't even know what OG meant.
Oh my God!
For the longest time, I know.
And
right?
You're an OG,
and I'm an OG. Go figure. Now I use it all the time. No, really, it's fun to get up with the speed, get up to speed with the jargon. I want to talk about our farmers because, boy, during COVID, the farmers kept us fed in many different ways.
Oh yeah,
and I think it was a real big wake up call for the community, for decision makers. Definitely lawmakers that saw maybe not the value, because we always treasure our farmers because they work hard. Mm-hmm. But boy, they are, when it comes to sustainability and keeping our community healthy, that really came through. Your thoughts on that?
So actually, the farmers markets really blew up during the pandemic. I mean, the one at KCC had to close because it was on campus. All the school campuses, you know, they were closed. But like the Kaka'ako and Kailua markets, they blew up huge because it was outdoors. And then people started to get more aware about supporting local, so they could do all of that at one time. And for some people, the farmers market was their one weekly outing to get out of the house. They didn't care that they had to stand in line because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm around people. So,
but the cabin fever, we were all experiencing. But on the farmer's side, those who, you know, are in the fields plowing, it was their way of keep on farming as opposed to plowing it into the ground, which happens a lot. It kept them afloat.
Yeah, it kept them afloat. It kept all of us afloat. It kept us alive. But yeah, and I think the farmers learned something too. I guess like with scaling back on their produce or scaling up according to, you know, the needs, because, you know, it was so crazy during the pandemic.
It really was. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it was a positive and it strengthened our agriculture discussion.
Yeah.
And it made it more active for sure.
And I think people were more aware of eating more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Getting fresh food.
For sure. So. And you know, the decision makers need to make it worth their while. We're talking about the farmers, you know, provide the incentives that they can make use of.
Yeah.
It's not just, I mean, the land and the labor is one thing and all the other hoops that they have to get through just to survive.
I know. I
mean, the yield is small.
Yeah. And there's so many regulations and rules. I mean, I know they're there for a purpose, but there's a lot that's like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, I embrace and love our farmers. And again, During the pandemic, the heat of the pandemic, I really think they saved Hawaii in many different ways.
Yeah.
They really did. How did you get connected? I mean, I know that you blog about food, but how did you get connected with the farmers markets? Did they reach out to you or did you see? Yeah. Tell me how that happened.
So I've been doing social media for clients for about 15 years. And one of my clients is Pro Ridge.
Okay.
And so Farm Lovers, that does Kaka'ako and Kailua, they also do Pro Ridge. And so I was going to the markets anyway. And at one point, the owner of the market, her partner moved back to the mainland, and that was who was doing the social media. So she's like, I need somebody to help me. So I was like, here I am.
I'm your girl. Yeah. You know, when I used to live in downtown, I used to go to a farmer's market by Citron, by the old Macaulay Chop Suey. It was like a boys girls club over there.
Okay.
And this is a long time ago, long before social media. So that's my end to this question. You know, even the farmer's markets realize that social media can be an amazing tool to get the word out.
Yeah.
Right? What makes that so important, do you think, to their mission as well, to get folks out and about?
Well, I can tell you for what we do on our social media for the markets, we highlight the different vendors and farmers. So we do little videos of them saying, hi, I'm Ron, and I grow, you know, blah, 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 and talk about why they're so special. And then we also share recipes, because a lot of people want to support local, but they don't know what to do with all the produce that they see in front of them. It's like, right. Okay, that looks good, but what am I going to do?
Yeah, so what do I do with the kale?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So. It's interesting how recipes come out from farmers. They can help you.
Yeah.
You know, make use of the ulu or the kale chips or to make that. But, you know, when I look at some of your blogs, and I've surfed through them, and the pictures, like, they grab you, right? I mean, social media is such a visual a media.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that draws people too is actually seeing the farmers, because some of them, because they're working the land, they are in super good shape.
Yep.
So there's this one guy, his name is Noor, N-O-O-R. He owns Sugar Pappy Farms, and he specializes in dragon fruit, but he does other stuff. And he is like super hot. So
did you say hot?
Like, yeah, super hot.
Good looking?
Yeah. Even on his, like, I don't do it on the Farm Lover social media because it's more family friendly.
Yes, yes.
Not that this, but on his personal social media, you know, he's in the fields, shirtless, you know.
Oh my gosh. All the stalkers now are going to go check out. What is his handle?
Sugar Pappy Farms.
Oh boy. Not Sugar Daddy, but Sugar Pappy. Yeah. I'm afraid to ask, but what does he grow?
Mostly dragon fruit, but he does other fruits too. So at the market, he takes all those fruits and he doesn't sell them whole. He actually cuts it. So it's like a show. You're standing, he has this gigantic line.
Wow.
And people are just watching him cut the fruit and make all these colorful bowls.
I imagine a lot of the people in line are Wahine.
Yeah.
Well, does he have a shirt on when he's doing this?
Yeah, he has to wear a shirt just for sanitary reasons.
Yeah. It's like what's that movie? Not The Proposal. Shucks, with Marky Mark and Steve Cottrell. Shirt it up, pal. Shirt it up. Okay, well, I got to go do some stalking right after this. I'm curious to hear what this is about. That's interesting. You know, when you said that, I thought about some of the farmers that I met through the years from Kahuku. You know, I those guys work so hard. Much of it is, a lot of times it's family just in the fields. And they got to deal with so much unnecessary things besides the challenges of, you know, the weather and government and all this other things. Then there's ag theft, which is huge. It costs farmers millions every year. And I know out in Kahuku they had such a problem with that for so long. And stealing equipment.
Yeah.
You know, our farmers, they work hard and they lose a lot when people act, you know,
dumb.
I remember my dad, when he was alive, when he was at, this is totally digressing, but when he was in a Hawaii Kai retirement community, he would go to lunch and he would take 2 or 3 apples, you know, even eat apples. But
oh,
that
God.
Was his way of thanking me. Like, come, he give apples. And I would tell him, so when, if, you know, if I miss 2 or 3 days, there's like 8 apples waiting for me, right? So I said, Dad, that's egg theft. And he laughs because, you know, that's old school. But
yeah, super
just to
old
give
school.
Some kind of omiyage. But yeah, it's nothing to laugh about. Egg theft is a very real issue for our farmers. I just want to talk about a couple more questions about our vendors. Because sadly, farmers come and go.
Yeah,
because it's such a demanding and expensive, you know, endeavor. And unless you find a real niche or a need or you're huge, like yeah. a loon farms or such, it can be a real challenge just to you know make a living.
Yeah.
How when you see our farmer markets, because I know you said COVID was crazy busy, but there's some places that really saw nobody because yeah. of so because of fears or in some cases the KCC had to shut down.
Yeah.
When everybody started coming back, what did you feel when you started to see the long lines?
Oh, well, so the masks were still required, even right. though it's an outdoor market. So it wasn't too bad. But yeah, now at some point, it got so crowded that some of the vendors start to feel kind of uncomfortable and unsafe. There were some that are like, they're in the trucks, like the guy who does Omao Man smoothies, he's like above, so he doesn't have to like, you know, the customers are down below, so he doesn't have to interact with them face to face. But even for him, looking out, it's like, ooh, look at all these people. Oh, my God. You know, it's weird for them because they want to make the money, but sure. at the same time, it's like, ooh.
you don't make millions being a farmer.
No.
Not at all. No. I mean, you're there for the love of the land and what you do. In our farmers' markets, gosh, how long have they been around?
Oh, decades. Decades and right? decades, yeah.
I mean, you would think maybe even through the years of plantation life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some form or
they didn't
or
call
another.
It that, but
yeah.
they certainly have evolved. Social media has had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a huge responsibility. Really?
Oh, no.
I mean, no pressure. Think about it. No pressure, but the livelihoods of a lot of those vendors, you know, that's why they want you, hey, come check out our booth.
Well, a lot of them have to do their own social, too. Right. I mean, they can't just rely on the farmer's market itself to draw business to them. They have to take some responsibility. A lot of farmers are not good at social media.
Mm-hmm.
But
we had, you know, from the Watercress Farm.
Oh, yeah.
We had them here on our podcast. And, you know, the next generation is up. And, you know, grandpa, auntie, uncle, they didn't do social media at the time, but now they realize they need to, you know, get in the social yeah. media game and enhance their website. And so, it's interesting to see even generations later,
yeah.
Families are learning about the importance of social media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. it keeps you busy.
Yeah. I remember visiting the Sumita farm, and this is not too long ago, like, I know it was pre-pandemic, but David was still using a fax machine, the kind where you got to stand over it and then press the button. So
this is funny. They still, I mean, they're still a part of that. That everything is manual still.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just an amazing success story.
Yeah.
Through the years in this jungle of concrete and surrounded by, you know, a Pearl Ridge, and you have this.
Yeah.
Piece of land that is just blessed with water.
I know, and, so amazing.
amazing story there of a family business that's succeeded through the years. Well, you know, Melissa, I know that you're busy. I mean, besides farmers markets, you're writing, are you still writing for
Frolic? Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I see you with Olena every once in a while
yeah.
on the TV and, you know, what else are you doing?
Yeah, so she and I also co-host on Dokoga TV.
Yes.
We're not usually on together, although she and I did take a trip together because Polly couldn't make it.
Yeah.
So she and I just took over.
I remember. I've seen that one. I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. Every so often I'm on Hawaii News Now with Grace and we talk about some new restaurants. Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah.
Good fun. Who would think a journalism degree one day would
I know.
Come to that? Yeah. Yeah. You have certainly made your mark and you're... Your brand, because you are a brand, Melissa,
aww.
You really are,
you.
Has so much credibility. And I think anybody who sees that you're attached to that, they believe that this is a good product. And aww. In this case, our farmers markets are in good hands.
Thank you.
Media. Always good to talk story with you.
Oh, same here.
If I were to ask you, because you asked me, what's my favorite podcast I did? But if I was to ask you, what's the favorite thing that you have eaten at a farmers market?
Ooh. That's a hard one. There's so many.
Without offending any of the vendors.
I know. Because,
you know, and it cannot be the guy with the shirt.
I know.
Or no shirt.
Actually, so one of the vendors that I see all the time for breakfast, it's a quick one. It's called Ha'avi Toast and Tea. And it's run by Bonnie Shishido, who used to work at the star advertiser, and her husband Mark Shishido, who was with Alan Wong's, and it's toast, but it's with toppings like kilo pig or eggplant or mango, but it's like mixed with other stuff, so it's like a meal, and that's really tasty.
They sell that at a farmer's market.
At the Kakako Farmer's Market. But the last time I saw them, I was waiting for my order, and she said, "Oh, these girls, they left their order because some other girl was eating her fruit." her fruit bowl, and they're like, "Oh, where'd you get that from?" She pointed to Sugar Pappy Farms, and they're like, "Oh, is it worth it?" And she's like, "Oh yeah." And the guys who work the booth are cute too. So they left their order and just ran over.
Hey, nothing wrong with a little eye candy at our farmers markets.
And then there's a guy named James who does Fatu Amano Pizza, and he's at like all the markets: Kakako, Kailua Town Center. Kailua on Sundays, and so his stuff is he has fresh made pizzas, and he's even popular. Won awards for it, I think.
Well, I tell you what, folks, if you have a favorite that you go to, whether it be on Kauai at the Kauai community or Keaholo on Hawaii Island at Hamakua, I mean, everybody's got one. Hilo's got one. Maui, of course, upcountry, and of course our good friends out in Napili. Please go support our local farmers.
Support local.
They keep us going. And I talk about our farmers. I also talk about our ranchers, because without that group, hey, we wouldn't be here today as a community, a society, as a nation.
I agree.
So support your local farmers. Melissa Chang, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
So good to see you. Yeah, I like your purple hair.
Oh, it's my ube hair.
It's your ube. For real. Oh, goodness. Always good fun talking story. Mahalo nui for joining us, folks. Join us. Oh, nah, I'm hungry for some ube. Join us next week for another episode of What School You Went. Until then, ahui ho.
What School You Went is a PBS Hawaii production. Music by Taimani Gardner. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and tell your friends. You can find us on pbshawaii.org and everywhere you get your podcasts.